As we do begin our message this morning, it probably comes as no surprise to you that the message today has a bit of a Thanksgiving theme, because this is the season of Thanksgiving. And I know that most of us are probably anticipating a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday with our families later this week. I love this time of year. Thanksgiving Day is something that I do look forward to all year. But my dear friends, I know that I do not have to tell you that Thanksgiving is something that should not be reserved just for one day a year. I'm certainly not the first preacher to tell you that for the people of God, every day should be a day of Thanksgiving. I'm sure you've heard others share that same phrase. It did not originate with me. I can't claim the credit for it, but it is a very true statement nonetheless. We should always, every day, give thanksgiving unto our Lord, because we do have so much to be thankful for. And truly, our Lord has blessed us abundantly. I am thankful for His love. I am thankful for His grace. I am thankful for His mercies, which are new each and every morning, like we sang about just a few moments ago. And I am beyond thankful for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I am eternally grateful for the salvation that He secured for me when He endured the cross. And when I say eternally grateful, of course, I mean that very literally. It is for all of eternity. And in this season of Thanksgiving, we certainly want to honor the Lord with our gratitude. And that's what our message today is about as well. If you will take your Bibles this morning and find the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 17. If you'll turn with me to Luke this morning, chapter 17. And for our focus passage today, we will read verses 11 through 19 of Luke 17. And of course, as always, this is optional if you would like and if you're able. Let's stand together in honor of the word of the Lord as we do partake of it this morning from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. It says, "Now it happened as he," meaning Jesus, "as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" In verse 14, it says, "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." So verse 17, it says, "So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 who were cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" And may God add His blessings to the reading of His word today. Thank you. You may be seated. Our passage that we just read, it tells the story of 10 individuals who were suffering from the dreaded disease of leprosy. And to really comprehend what was happening, we need to understand the impact of leprosy in biblical times. You see, leprosy was the most dreaded disease of that day. It was a terrible illness that was highly contagious, and it was very destructive in its nature. Leprosy was a gradual erosion of skin and bone tissue, which commonly affected the hands, the feet, and the face, as well as other areas of the body. And those people with severe cases of the disease, I've read, they were forced into private camps, away from their homes, and only with the company of other lepers, also forced into these private camps. I've also heard it told that in the biblical days, if a leper was approaching a public area, they were required by law to yell out, "Unclean leper approaching." That way others would just clear out of the way and not risk catching this dreaded disease. So can you just imagine the social isolation, the lack of love that these people had to endure, as well as the physical pain and suffering? But it is also noteworthy in our text that one of these 10 individuals we read about was a Samaritan. Now, under normal circumstances, those who were Jewish, well, they would not be caught associating with someone who was a Samaritan. But under these circumstances, what would it matter? I mean, what difference will the origin of birth make to those who were suffering a living death? And what happened here in our passage is that these 10 individuals whose flesh was literally rotting away with leprosy, they have somehow gotten word that Jesus is passing by. Now, they've likely heard of this man named Jesus, known to be a miraculous and a compassionate healer. And although they were forbidden by social law to approach the crowd too closely, as Jesus passed by in desperation, they make their way to the edge of the crowd and gather together with each other. But while still standing off at a distance, they cry out to Jesus in desperation, saying, "Jesus, Master, please have mercy on us." And then Jesus, hearing their cries for help, responds. Now, something I do find interesting about this particular approach of Jesus in his healing of these is that Jesus, as we see in Scripture, he does not always heal using the same process. As we look throughout the Gospels, we see many accounts of Jesus bringing healing unto the afflicted, but we also see many different methods that Jesus uses, even for the same ailments under different circumstances. There were times, of course, when Jesus would physically touch to bring healing, such as a leper he cleansed earlier in this same Gospel of Luke in chapter 5. On another occasion, you may remember, Jesus healed a man's blindness by making clay from the dirt. And he placed the clay upon this man's eyes. And he said, "Now go and wash that off." And when he did, the blindness was gone. Many times Jesus healed by touch. And there were times people were healed simply by touching him. Other times, you may recall, Jesus merely spoke the words and people were healed. Sometimes even from a remote location. You remember when the officer approached Jesus and he said, "You don't even have to come, Jesus. Just speak the words and it will happen." And so it did. My point being, Jesus chose to heal by various and different methods. And my friends, likewise is God's approach in dealing with the many different situations in our lives. We don't really know what methods God will use to carry out His will in our lives. It may not be the way in which we expect, and it may not always make sense to us. But just like Jesus used different methods of healing for specific circumstances, God will work in our lives in sometimes various and different ways. But back to this story of the 10 lepers, Jesus did things a little differently this time. He did not physically touch them as he had at other times with lepers in the past, nor was the healing immediate this time, although often the healing that Jesus brought was immediate. But in this particular case, Jesus simply told the lepers to go and show themselves to the priest. Now, he did not explain to them that they were healed or even that they were about to be healed, which in fact, if you recall from our text, when Jesus first spoke, no healing had actually taken place yet. And yet Jesus told them, now go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, what was so significant about that? I'll tell you why that was such a big deal. Because normally a person suffering from leprosy in the biblical times, they were not allowed to go near a priest and defile the priest and defile the temple. But, however, if a miracle had occurred and the leprosy was presumed to be gone, it was up to the priest to give verification of that and therefore declare the individual as cleansed and thus able to return unto normal society. So you see, these 10 individuals, these men, they exercised a strong faith by taking Jesus at his word. I mean, for them to show up to see the priest and yet still have leprosy, that meant they would be in some serious trouble. But when Jesus commanded it, off they went, having not yet seen any evidence that healing was in the works. They simply trusted. Jesus spoke it, and they responded. And it was not until they exercised that faith that they found themselves suddenly restored. Now, I want us to pause just a few moments here and try to imagine the details of when this healing suddenly manifested itself and became a reality to these men. I mean, very likely these lepers, these 10 individuals, they probably had hands whose fingers may have actually shriveled and even fallen off. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I know some of this may sound a little bit gross, but it does give us the context of what was going on. Their skin had probably peeled loose and detached itself in many places, including their faces. Deteriorating bone was probably showing through where there had once been muscle and skin tissue, only to now be replaced with decay. And yet suddenly, I can just imagine that there was a tingling across their bodies. And can't you just picture their surprise, their joy, their overwhelming delight as they stopped and they looked at one another once again, seeing hair and eyebrows. We could even speculate. I am sort of reading into the story, but we can speculate perhaps some of their sandals or foot coverings may have actually burst as they regained toes that were gone, but were now restored. And the fullness of their healing became evident to them. Now, there were no mirrors, but they could see it in each other and they could feel it within themselves. They were healed, physically restored. And the leprosy that had tormented them for so long, it was now gone. Quite a cause for celebration. Amen. And we don't really have details as to what the other 9 men did at this point. Now, some may have continued on to the priest as instructed, and some may have immediately turned and just headed toward home anxiously anticipating a reunion with their family members. And still others of the 10, they may have been overcome so much with excitement that they just begin celebrating with the strangers right there where they were at. But yet one individual, only one of the 10, he stops for a moment, and while still overcome with the realization of his healing, he considers the source. You notice in verse 15 that we read, it says, "Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he did what? Turned back." And then it says, glorifying who? Glorifying God with a loud voice. You see, this former leper, he didn't just yell, "Wow, somehow, who knows, but somehow I'm healed." No, instead he yelled for everyone to hear, "Praise be unto God, for he has restored me." And then in verse 16, we see his humble attitude of gratitude. Something we need to have, an attitude of gratitude. It says he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks unto him. I want us to think about that this morning. This man fell on his face before Jesus. And folks, not only is that expressing his gratitude, but that is also an act of worship unto Jesus and unto God. And how important it is for us to worship Jesus Christ, our Savior, with the reverence that he is due. This man, a Samaritan, and now a former leper, displayed the attitude of reverence and humility unto Christ that should be displayed by all and one day will be displayed by all. Yet in the next verse, in verse 17, we see Jesus proposing a very thought-provoking question. He replies unto this man, "Were there not 10 of you who were cleansed? And yet, where are the others now?" In verse 18, Jesus adds, "Was there no one else except for this foreigner who turned back to give glory to God?" Now, by pointing out that this man was a Samaritan, I don't see that as a derogatory reference in this case. No, instead, I think Jesus was commending this man all the more, because those who were of the Hebrew people, even more so, they should have been compelled to go back and give praise and glory to the God of their fathers. Jesus was saying, this man, however, even being a Samaritan, he knew better. Jesus asked, "Where are the others?" Although in reality, it's not that Jesus was not already aware. Jesus knew the hearts of all men, and he himself also possessed the all-knowing omniscience of God. So he certainly even knew in advance the others would not return. But, my friends, Jesus asked the question to make a point. And that's a point that needed to be made not only in that time, in that day, but just as much so a point that needs to be recognized among God's people today, in this day and in this age. And the point Jesus was making was this: when God so obviously blesses you, don't withhold your gratitude. You might have also noticed in bulletin, that is the sermon title that I gave to our message today. Don't withhold your gratitude. But in this story, through the power and the mercy of God, these 10 individuals who experienced a life-altering, complete physical restoration from a terrible, deadly affliction. They knew it when it happened, and they saw the source from which it came. And yet, of these 10 men, only one returned to show his gratitude, meaning that 9 out of the 10 carelessly went along about their way without so much as an acknowledgement toward God, the source of their renewal. And now some people might argue and say, well, now they were just excited. And I say, all the more reason for them to give the glory unto God. My friends, there are several important things we can learn from this passage, not the least of which is we must render unto Him the gratitude that He is due. I mean, how much of our prayer time is spent asking and asking and asking when we need to be thanking, praising, and worshiping? And it's not that we are not supposed to ask of God. Oh, there are many verses that tell us to do so. Just to name a couple of those, Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find." Oh, there's numerous verses that say to cast your burden upon the Lord. Another verse is Philippians 4:6, which tells us to pray about everything and to present our requests unto God. But that same verse, Philippians 4:6, we are told to do so with thanksgiving. And when we stop to consider all that God has done and all that He has blessed us with, how can we not praise and thank Him continually? I ask us this morning, when I say us, I want you to know I'm included in that. I don't just want to say I'm going to ask you this morning. I ask all of us, including myself, how are we thanking Him in our lives? And are we counting our blessings? As children of God and as the redeemed of Christ, may we keep in mind that we should always, always have an attitude of acknowledging the blessings of God, just like that Samaritan that we read about in our passage today. When you see so clearly the hand of God moving in your life, take the time to go back before Him in prayer and offer your gratitude, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of strife, even in the midst of adversity. We have so much to be thankful for. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And then he says, "And again I say, rejoice." And this leper, well, excuse me, this former leper, who was of Samaritan origin, he shows us the proper attitude of acknowledging the blessing of God and expressing that thankfulness. Now, here's something for us to consider. When we extend our thanksgiving unto God, God uses that responsiveness from us as an opportunity to teach us more about Himself. You see, when we thank God for the blessings in our lives, the blessing then grows even deeper as we begin to draw closer to Him, because God then reveals more of Himself unto us. And let's think about this for a moment. If you could put yourself in this group of 10 lepers, would you have been the one to go back and thank Him? If you were in that group, out of the 10, would you have been the sole individual who would have returned unto Jesus to offer thanks? Now, we'd like to think so, but we aren't able to literally put ourselves into that situation. But here is what we can do. The opportunity that we do have before us is in each day of our lives, because blessings abound for us each and every day. And do we respond to those blessings with an attitude of thankfulness, or do we take His blessing for granted? When this leper saw that he was healed, he returned unto Jesus to thank Him. And as Christians, we are likewise to return our lives unto Him. I mean, after all that He has done for us, is that not as it says in Romans 12, 1, is that not our reasonable service unto him? Because of our salvation in him, should our lives not also be surrendered unto him? Now, of course, we're not saved by works. I hope we all know that already. But the concept of salvation by grace was never intended to just be a free ticket into heaven with no regard for a changed life. Now, I'm certainly not advocating that a person could lose their salvation, because I don't believe that at all. But when I see individuals who supposedly at one time prayed a prayer of repentance to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, but yet never demonstrated a change of life and a change of heart, my assumption is that that person was probably never truly saved. Just like Jesus said in Luke 9:23, he said, whoever wants to be his disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow him. Jesus never spoke of an easy, say a quick prayer method of securing your ticket into heaven and then just go about with your life as if nothing ever happened. But rather, listen, salvation is evidenced by a changed life. Just like the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It says, old things are passed away and all things have become new. Now, is that to say that we won't still experience struggles and failures? Mm-mm. That's not at all what that means. We will still struggle. We will sometimes fall, and sometimes we may fall to sin and fail miserably. But the key distinction now versus our life prior to Christ is that there is now a remorse of heart. There is now a brokenness when we do slip and fall. Also, listen to me. Once we are saved, old habits of sin should be cast aside. Now, the struggle against sin is still a reality in the life of a Christian and always will be while we remain on this earth in this lifetime. However, we are no longer a slave to sin. Once we receive Christ, sin is no longer our master, and that should be evident in our lives, just as with this former leper. Now, we don't have a lot of details of his life after this point, but did you notice in verse 19, had Jesus told this man, his faith had made him well. And at this point, I don't think Jesus was referring just to physical healing either. I think Jesus was speaking of redemption and restoration. This man left not only with a healed body, but with a healed soul. And listen, while it is a wonderful thing to experience physical healing while on this earth, how much more wonderful is it to experience the miracle of eternal salvation? Listen, that is something that Jesus offers to all of us as well. Just as Jesus healed these lepers of their afflictions, Jesus came to cleanse and renew you from sin if you will but allow him. Have you found that salvation in Jesus Christ? I hope all of you listening this morning have found that spiritual restoration that Jesus gives. And if you have not, that is a very serious matter. And I urge and plead with you to not let this hour pass by today without praying to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And for those here who do know Christ, which I hope is all of us, do we not have reason to rejoice? I mean, when I start to count my blessings, at the top of the list is salvation. And I love that verse in 2 Corinthians 9:15, which says, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. Oh, if only God's people would present unto him the thanks that he is due. There's a beautiful verse found in Psalm 107, which says this. It says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." In fact, that phrase is found four times in Psalm chapter 107. It's found in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. It's four times in that psalm. We may as well read it again. It says, "Oh, that men would give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Just like that one cleansed leper who stood out among his peers, may we also have the attitude and the action of returning thanks unto him. And that is definitely something we can learn from this scripture passage. Here's something else that we can learn as we do wind down today. I mentioned that, like this leper, we have opportunities each day to express our thankfulness unto God. But here's another opportunity that we have. Just like these lepers cried out to Jesus for mercy, likewise, people in the world around us are crying out for mercy. Just as the voices of the lepers cried out, "Jesus, have mercy," voices today are calling out, "Christian, have mercy." They may be subtle, and like the lepers, they may be at a distance. But listen carefully with the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Look at others through the eyes of Jesus. So many Christians just carry on their day-to-day lives with a business-as-usual attitude when others around us who are hungry for Jesus are calling out. Be Jesus unto them. Be Jesus unto those around you. You know, part of our reaction of thankfulness unto Jesus should be demonstrated by how we in turn pass that same grace and mercy onto others. This Samaritan that we read about today, he responded to God by returning unto Jesus and thanking him and worshiping him. But I also have no doubt that he went away from there a changed man, not just physically, while he was obviously physically healed from leprosy, but just as Jesus told the man, "Your faith has made you well." Likewise, his faith had made him whole. And I have no doubt his life was changed in how he lived. Because again, when we have a salvation experience in coming to know Jesus Christ, our lives won't be the same. And I'm sure this same attitude of worship and thankfulness continued with this man throughout the rest of his years on earth. I'm sure he continued to respond to God with praise and gratitude as he grew in his relationship with God. Likewise, I've no doubt that this man allowed God to work through him as he ministered unto others and shared the message and the miracle of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that man who came back and fell on his face before Jesus. And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." Don't you just know that he continued to tell people about Jesus as long as he was on this earth? As for the other nine lepers who were cleansed, we don't really know what happened with them, only that their initial response was to ignore the one or not acknowledge the one who brought them healing. So as we prepare to close today, I ask each of you, each of us, what kind of way are you responding to God in your life? Most importantly, have you responded to his offer of salvation in Jesus? If not, how I hope and pray that you will do that here today. You see, it is because of Jesus that we have the offer of forgiveness from sin. And that's because Jesus paid the penalty for our sin upon the cross. God sent Jesus to bear the burden of our sin and take the punishment due for our sin. Aren't you glad that He did? Well, I need to get an amen out of that. Aren't you glad that Jesus bore the burden of our sin on the cross? And again, won't you call out to Him today if you have never done so? Just open your heart to the Lord with a sincere prayer. Tell Him that you know you've sinned and that you need to be forgiven. Invite Jesus into your heart and into your life to not only be your Savior, but to be your Lord. If you've never done that, I urge you to do so today. And then, Christian, to those who are saved already, I ask you today, are you responding to Him with obedience? Just like that cleansed Samaritan leper, are you continuing to give Him thanks? And just like that cleansed Samaritan, are you telling it for others to hear? Remember, it said that man proclaimed it with a loud voice. Praise be unto God, for He has healed me. He was telling it to anybody who would listen. Are we doing that? Are we telling anybody who will listen how much God has blessed us? Let's be sure that we are. Our God is good. Amen. Let's never take His blessings for granted. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank You. Father God, we bless You. We praise Your holy name. And I thank You for what You're doing in this church. I thank You for what You did here in this service today. And I pray Your continued blessings on this service right now. Father, bless this time of invitation, Lord, as we continue to draw our hearts near unto You. And I pray, Lord, if there are those who need to respond in this time of invitation, that You would just give them the courage to step out in faith and to do so. Father, I do especially pray that if there's anyone here today who doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, that they would make that decision today to give their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. And Father, I do pray for all of us this morning that You remind us to live in that attitude of gratitude, expressing our thankfulness each and every day, for truly You have blessed us. Father, we thank You. We praise You when we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.